When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, and that belonged to Joash and the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders or his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive."
Thank you for that reading, Anna. This is where today's reading or today's message is taken from, the story of Gideon. I know many of you have heard this message before, read this scripture, part in the Bible before, and it was impressed on me when I was asked to speak, and it wouldn't leave. So I really felt that God has something to say via this scripture. And this may be a word that may be a reminder to some, this may be something new to others, but I pray that the Holy Spirit does, as Miss Townsend said on Tuesday via prayer meeting, make our hearts good and fertile soil so that we may receive something from it. So actually I'll start off where Aaron Townsend left off last week. And if you haven't listened to his message, please do take the time to go and listen to it. It was a really good message. It was a really challenging word, a real honest word as well. And again, I would say try and make the time to listen to it. It was an amazing word. Thank you, Aaron, for that. So Aaron kind of dealt with the reality of Christians going into circumstances or situations or problems, and you're thinking, and it causes you to question the word, like why certain Christians die in the way that they die, or why and sudden things happen to Christians and issues occur in their lives. And it's funny because we have here, we start off where the Israelites are praying and asking God, or in a situation where they don't understand why they're in bondage, why they're in slavery, why the Midianites are oppressing them, why the Midianites have done so much, and we're meant to be the children of Israel, we're meant to be the children of God. Why God? They start off with this conflict. Why is this happening to us? And in this particular situation, God actually does respond. And he doesn't actually, he first deals with the fact that what he says is, I am the God that delivered you from Egypt. I am the God that done this. I am the God that done this. I am the God that does this. And we kind of feel that, well, that doesn't really answer the question. And then he goes on to say, well, you know, it's because of the fact that you're serving other gods that this kind of happened. Okay, cool. But Lord, are you going to deliver us from it? So I understand why we're here, okay, but I understand, and I also understand the fact that you're a God that done all this in the past. And sometimes we can kind of receive that same message from the speakers at Micah or any speaker. we hear a word from Dennis or Aaron or Sam, whoever it is that's speaking, Tunde, and they'll say, look, this is what the word is saying, this is what God said, this is how great God is, and it's amazing, and this, that, and the other. But there's a conflict between the message that you're receiving and the actual experience that you're going through in life at that present time and moment. How do we deal with it? Why is it that I'm having to, the word says this, but yet we are experiencing death and loss or all these other things? People of Israel find themselves in that situation. And it can actually lead to in many cases, understandable as well. It leads to frustration, leads to uncertainty in some cases. And what we have is, and then what then happens is, you have in let me go back a bit. It said that, okay, God said that you have sinned, but yet he came to them and answered their prayer, or gave them a response, I should say. And sometimes we can kind of feel that way, that, okay, cool. And I like this, the fact that they had sinned, but they were not separated from God. God still came to them and said, look, I am the God that delivered you. I'm your God, your father. I'm the God that this. He didn't sin and abandon them. They sinned and he kept them close. And sometimes this is something that we should take into consideration in our own lives, is that when we do sin, and the Bible says when you sin, not if, is that we actually go to him. In fact, they mostly didn't even realize they had sinned, and that's why the Midianites had oppressed them. God sent them a prophet to tell them this. But then something interesting happens, and it's we know that God loves us regardless of the situations or circumstances we come in, and that's why he goes to them and speaks to them. And we know that, I mean, when we do pray to God and we ask for forgiveness, it says, look, in Isaiah 43:25, it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions, and for my own sake, I remember your sins no more. So it was right for them to have gone to God. And it's good for us to take into consideration that when we do get into situations in the same similar way that they did, let's go to God in the same way that they did. And you may not get the answers that you want to get. You may not even be delivered from the situation that you may find yourself in. And this is where the frustration still comes into it. And this is where Gideon finds himself. And the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. And when he comes to Gideon, he comes to him underneath, he goes to him underneath this big tree. I think it calls it a note tree in some. And in some verses, in some translations, it calls it a terebinth tree, which is basically similar to an oak tree. A huge tree, basically. And it has, and it gives this large, large area of shade. And it's important that for us to actually note that the Lord sends a prophet, talks to everybody, then he waits and waits till Gideon's alone, and then he speaks to Gideon personally underneath this oak tree, and in this situation he speaks to Gideon, and he goes and he says to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Now, that's interesting, because he may not feel that way. Now, let me just kind of sidetrack for a moment. Now, most of you know my name is Fuma, and I'll answer to. But my mum doesn't call me that. A lot of you also realize my actual name is Bofoma. I'm not missing too many letters, just the one. But that one letter makes a whole difference, and I'll explain to you later. When I was younger, going to school and meeting friends and meeting people outside of the domain of my house and so forth, they decided that the U would be a problem to announce it, and decided to omit it and called me for my just to cut so that I'm able to fit into to society that I was in at the time. School teachers called me the same name, friends and everybody adopted that name. I adopted the name myself, and it actually, when they did that, they omitted the actual meaning. They didn't even ask me what the meaning of the name was, not knowing that when my mum gave me the name, she gave it with a meaning. I'll explain to you, the actual name means peace of mind or peace. Now, it's interesting to know that they didn't really care about the meaning of it. What they cared was, how can we say this guy's name in the easiest way for us to actually understand, or us to actually continue to say, or for us to have him accepted? But I'll say this, no matter what you call yourself or even what others call you, the only person that has the authority to call you what you should be called is the people, or is your parents, as they made you. In the same way, God is the only one that has the authority to call you what you are, even though you may have called yourself something, even though others may have called yourself something. So here we have Gideon in a similar situation where God comes to him and says that he is a mighty man of valor. That doesn't compute. And then he says, I am Lord, I am with you. And this is not the, and just going back to this whole name thing. Now, names are very important in the Bible, because we see where God changes people's names. Abram was changed to Abraham. Sarai was changed to Sarah. Jacob to Israel. And we even see Jesus calling Simon's name Peter. And he says, upon this, and whenever those names were changed, they came with meaning and with purpose. So it's almost like the sat-nav coordinates changed with their name. So it changed the trajectory of where their life was going. Even though they had called themselves or been known to whatever, known to everybody else in society as one particular name, God said, no, today you will be called this particular name. Because today we're changing the trajectory of where you are going in life. And it's important that we understand that what we call ourselves is very important. Because you will either live up or live down to that name. And our names sometimes are taken from places and conditions and experiences and people even that we shouldn't be taking names from. So here's Gideon. Being called, he was told, the Lord is with you. And that you're a mighty man of valor. But yeah, as I said, it didn't marry up with what was actually happening. And the thing is, he responds with, "Well, how can God pardon me?" He says. He says to the angel, "Excuse me, I hear what you're saying, but how can that be true? If the Midianites are controlling us, if the Midianites are oppressing us, if my life is going through all of these circumstances, if I can't get the resources that I need to move forward in life, if the situations that I'm in are not changing, how can you call me? How can you say you're with me, and then call me a mighty man of valor?" And valor just means that he's courageous in battle. What we find is that God calls him something that he hasn't even called himself. Because later on we go on to read that he says, hold up, that can't be true, because I am in the smallest clan, in the smallest tribe, and of that, I am the least. God tells him what he is, and then he responds with how he thinks of what he thinks of himself. Our perception of ourselves may not marry up with what God's perception is. He says, but how can I save Israel? We are the weakest. I'm from the weakest. And I'm from the least family in that tribe. Sometimes where you've come from and the position that God has placed you in doesn't make you feel confident to go on and do the things that it is that he's called you to do. God's calling you out of a situation, and what you respond with is, well, no, this is where I am. This is who I am. And I can't go forward. And they become excuses. They become reasons. They become just stumbling blocks in your own life. So the way he thought about himself stopped him from moving forward in what God has called him to do. His perception of himself was created by his past and current situation. And I'm sure there's many of us that can do the same. May feel the same. Things that I've gone through have subconsciously or consciously marked us. It was clear that he doubted himself. He gave excuses for why he couldn't do what God was asking for. How he thought about himself started to, it even caused him to conflict with what God was saying. Yeah. Gideon thought he couldn't go or get any better than his current situation because of where he came from. And how did these thoughts even come about? Why did he think that he was from the smallest clan he was a person that couldn't, and his family was low? Was it not because it was a common knowledge? Sometimes your mindset has been built up from family, from others, from school teachers, from grades, from your experiences with your parents, or experiences with family that should never have happened. And those perceptions then start to change and transform how you feel about yourself. And then they become stumbling blocks. They become crutches in our lives, thinking that they're supporting us, thinking that we're defending ourselves, but what happens is we end up causing more stumbling blocks in our own lives. God's trying to get him. He says, you will save Israel. He says, how can I? It's almost like when I was reading this, it kind of made me think of myself, because I know I've also had to deal with the whole situation of identity. And I think one of the first things that I dealt with, not deliberately, is just that when I had got into church, that's what they were dealing with. And it was who God says you are and how you feel about yourself. So this is quite close to my heart, this word. Gideon served, and the thing is, what tends to happen is that Gideon starts to serve his emotions, and we can do the same thing. Our emotions become our God. We would rather serve and bow down to our emotions than serve and obey or listen or receive what God has said. Gideon didn't see himself as God saw him. Gideon actually had an identity crisis. And these crises that we have in our identity in today's society is fueled by so much. I mean, what we have, what we don't have, what you're looking at, what your friend bought from what this person didn't buy, or what you have from what they don't have, and so forth. And social media has just, yeah, that's just a whole different, almost, in some cases, demonic presence that we shouldn't never even had in the first place, because of how it's causing people to question their identity. I mean, they've said that since social media has been around, it's actually taken up the number of suicides that occur in today's society. You can actually Google how to commit suicide. Prior to that, we had, I think in my last message, I spoke about having encyclopedias. We could find in there that there was no visuals. We had book and paper and ink. There was no visuals. Today, you can find visuals of how to do anything stupid on it. And then it will also talk, and then it will also start shaping your thoughts. It will also start shaping your life. Before you know it, you're taking in information that you never would have taken in before. Judging yourself on things that God has never judged you on. Getting ideologies on things that about yourself that you never would have had before. Don't get me wrong, there are also benefits from these things. There are some, I mean, most of us are using, well, you may hear this on social media. We share the word on social media. But the Bible also says, where sin abounds, my grace does also. So of course his presence will be there as well. Of course his word will be there as well. But we need to understand that and be mindful of what it is that we're taking in. The Bible says that our eyes it determines how light our body is. So what we let through, what we watch, what we listen, and faith cometh by hearing. So I'm sure that doubt also comes by hearing. Who is it you're listening to? Have they told you that you're the weakest in your tribe? You're the smallest. You're ineffective. Why are you comparing yourself? Stop comparing yourself. Because in doing so, you're actually in conflict with what God is actually saying about you. And how can we be in conflict with what God is sharing about us? How can God say to us, this is who you are, and then you're saying, no, this is not who I am? I've got a few notes. You're not your mistakes or failures. You're not your traumas. Now, I understand that it may take time to get through trauma. I understand it may take time, and you may need to seek professional help. But when Gideon goes back to God and says, okay, Lord, if what you're saying is true, can you make the dew of the morning go into the fleece? Those that know if you continue reading, you'll see what Gideon goes on to go and do and so forth. Lord, and he asks God a few questions just to test, not even to test him, just to make sure that what he's saying is true. Like, I am really, it is me. Are you sure it's me? It's really what you're saying is true. I just need a few things just for you to confirm. So he asks him three questions. Lord, if what you're saying is true, can you make the dew go on the fleece and not on the ground? And then he reverses it. Can you make the dew go on the ground and not on the fleece? And he asks him one other question. In doing so, I think in every question, he was gaining confidence in himself and gaining confidence in what God had said about him. So he stops trusting his own opinions and starts trusting what God has said. And no person has the authority or totality to tell you who you are apart from God. So you're not your mistakes or failures. You're not your traumas. You're not your pain. You're not your losses. You're not your weaknesses. You're not your struggles. You're not your behavior. You're not your past. You are not what's been done to you. You're not the harmful words you were called. You're not who you compare yourself to. You're not a statistic. You're not where you have been, but you are everything that God has said you are. sometimes we can get lost in these things that we seem to, that we kind of hear and we go through in life and we experience. But God is saying, no, I need you to understand that what I've called you and what you've called yourself or what others have called you may are in conflict. Understand that my word and what I've called you is far much more important than what you've called yourself, what others have called you. And because of your belief and what you've said about yourself, it changes to it now I can't shift you to save the Israelites. And here's the big thing about it. Guys, I need you all to listen and hear this. Once you start believing who God says you are, you will end up doing far much more exceedingly what you expected God to do in your life. The enemy wants to question who you are. Question and allow you to go through things and experience these things and then question who you are. God is telling you, this is who you are. I remember Josie, sorry to pull you out here, Josie. Josie doing prayer meeting a couple weeks back. And when Dennis asked her to give the prayer meeting and she said yes initially, and as it got closer, she started getting a bit anxious about it, and then she started referring back to what happened to her previously and the things that she'd gone through, and in terms, and they started to, it almost started to question whether what she was doing was correct. So almost to a point where she was going to stop her. And in fact, on a few occasions, she says she's not doing it and can't do it because what she's experienced in life, because she felt she weren't good enough or it weren't right for her to be doing it. When we just read that, God calls you irrespective of how you feel about yourself, because I will call and speak into your life because I have the authority to talk, and because I made you. It says, before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knit you together. So everything you've gone through, everything that you've experienced, everything that you've heard about yourself, if unless it corresponds with what I say about you, I expect you to dismiss it. And the important thing is, how do we know who we are? Where have you got this information about who you are from? Gideon got it from his peers, from what others said about him, from what others said about his tribe. He was confident in it, as well. We can be confident in the fact, in the rubbish that we hear about ourselves. We can build our beliefs on common knowledge. We can build our beliefs on what society says today. We can build our understandings of who we are, where we're going in life, based on books that have been written by impressive writers and so forth. But unless they correspond with what God says about you, they mean nothing and will only lead to your end. God comes and speaks to Gideon, and I like it because he takes him to this big tree, and I like the fact that God actually likes to deal with us sometimes when we're alone. He didn't deal with him in the crowd. He spoke to the whole of Israel and said, look, I'm the God that done this, I'm the God that done that. And then he came to Gideon by himself. Sometimes we need that space by ourselves. And in that time when you're by yourself, you can be honest with God, just like Gideon was. How can you call me this? This is how I feel about myself. This is where I am. This is why I am. Do you know that every single thing about you was deliberately put together? The fact that you're charismatic, the fact that you're loud, the fact that you're not as loud, you're more reserved, the way that you're structured, Everything was put in place deliberately because it has a purpose for not yourself. Remember, the angel of the Lord went to him, Gideon, for the purpose of freeing Israel. God has placed everything in you for not only your own purpose, but for the purpose of everyone that is around you. So when you do not live who you are, you're stopping God from doing the things that he needs to do in other people's lives. Embrace who you are. You can't be nobody else because God didn't want you to be nobody else. God didn't want you to talk like nobody else. Walk like nobody else. Be structured like nobody else. But yet we're taught to compare ourselves to everybody else. We go into classrooms and we in some cases are humiliated because of the grades that we find on our papers and stuff. We're not accepted into the it crowd. We don't have the latest whatever it is. So we grow up always trying to become or be something that we're not because of the fact that it never felt right being unaccepted, unappreciated. Whereas the one person that we're supposed to appreciate, we'd always ignored. Or now are. Or we're still living in our past, trying to gratify this flesh. The flesh is saying, you're not this, you're not that, you're not this, you're not that. Whereas the Holy Spirit that lives in you now is saying, wait up, that's not what I'm saying. So the Holy Spirit is in you trying to take you to life. And I just realized, hold on, I'm living with the enemy. This flesh is trying to kill me. It is trying to take me away from the will of God. God, and it may even sound like the odds are stacked against us, but they're not. Because the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he says, I've wiped away your sins. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature in me. You are a new creature in me. So everything that you've experienced, everything that went on, everything that was said, I will help you let go of it. So every time that Gideon went to him and said, God, show me, prove to me, it not only gave him understanding and belief in him, in what God was saying, but it also changed his belief system in himself. And that belief system wasn't that I'm great or wasn't that I was able to do, I'm able to now do what it is that God has asked me to do, but it is that I no longer have to trust the infallible me. I no longer have to trust the me that doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I no longer have to trust the me that is going to make mistakes and that has been. I no longer have to trust the me that's going to compare me to others. I no longer have to trust the me that continues to put me down because of what everybody else is saying. And I now can trust in the God that says, I am more than a conqueror. I am mighty. Because my old things have passed away. He says, I've forgotten them. I am born again. The old me is dead. I am somebody new. I now find my identity not in my past me because he don't live no more. She don't live no more. When I said yes, Lord, they died. But I understand we're flesh and we continue to, and the flesh says, no, live. No, I'm here. I'm living. Do you remember? Do you remember? This is who you are. This is who we were. This is what we did. Do you remember when you enjoyed this? Do you remember when this happened to you? You need to defend yourself. Whereas, hold up, the Holy Spirit's saying, no, no, no. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. That former don't live no more. Yes, he's going to make mistakes, and I will get him to where he needs to be. He that has started a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So I have to carry my cross every day, the Bible says. ready to crucify this flesh because it is trying to crucify me. It is trying to kill me. What you see in your screen is trying to kill me. And the Holy Spirit is living in me, saying, I am life. So when you listen to me, because what I want to tell you about you will transform and change who you are. Not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. Because greater is He that lives in you that lives in the world. Greater is He that lives in you that lives in the world. I no longer live in temples. I live in you. So when you walk around, understand that you're walking around with me in you. But listen, all of this is based on whether who you decide to listen to. Because fact is, you will remember your past. The fact is, you will remember, you will see everything that you've seen before. You can't unremember or unexperience all the stuff or un-go through the things that you've gone through. But what you can do is just trust in the fact that God deals with things and chooses vessels that are out of shape. Yes, I was out of shape. Fact. You most probably wouldn't have liked me. You might even still see sparks of that. But I'm confessing I am no longer the person that I used to be. I am a new creature in Christ. Every day I have to remind myself. Every day I have to confess to myself. And it's not easy. But the more time I meditate on this word, Bible says I should renew my mind daily. Renew it. Because the more time you spend with it, the more time you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more you end up being like Him. So, you come into the realization that I'm in conflict with this flesh. And as I said, it's okay to go to God and say, look, God, I need to learn how to accept who I am, who you say you are, who you say I am. Help me to even know who it is you say I am, because I've been buried in the person that everything else said I was. I was buried in the hurt, in the pain, in my experiences, in my failures, in what social media said I am. And I can't let go of it. It's hard. There's certain things, it's hard, it's challenging. But what you've said about me is different, Lord. And I need to take that into consideration. I need to understand what it is that you say about me. Why it is you say this about me. Because I believe and know that it will change and transform my life. You are who God says you are. Your significance and value is already set in Christ Jesus. You guys need to believe that. You are who God says you are. And your significance and value is no longer in your parents or in your family or in all of these things that you, or in your parents even. But it's in what God says you are. So let's let go of those things of old. Let's let go of them things that's been holding us back. That we're trying to keep up with the Joneses with. I don't care what it is, be it your weight, your color, your whatever it is. Your skin color, everything was deliberately given to you. The hair that you have, or lack of, was deliberately given to you. I'ma value this, don't worry. God is good. God is good. So the process that I see that we believe that we have to do is change what or who I listen to. Change, which then changes your thoughts. And then changes your actions and your habits, which then changes your future. This is the process that God was trying to bring about in Gideon. Stop listening to whoever it is that you've been listening to. It's not true. I will change the way you think about yourself. I will then change your habits. And in doing so, where the old you was going to lead you to is not where the actual you, the person that now takes significance and value, not from things or people or objects, but from me, from God, will now take you to a different kind of end or future that you was than the one that you had planned of. So let's actually look at a few scriptures that kind of denote this. What does the Bible say about your thoughts? I'm not going to read all of this. You guys can skim through this. So Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." As I said, the process is, let me transform your mind. Let me transform your mind. Let me renew it. Let me wash away everything that was there. I remember Pastor Dennis some years ago saying that people are saying that Christians are brainwashed. And he says, yeah, I am brainwashed. I need him to continuously wash this brain. I think that stuck with me. I definitely need to be brainwashed. This brain is full of rubbish that it shouldn't have been full of just due to sin. Wash my brain, Lord. Colossians 3, actually, let's go to the last one. Galatians 5:17. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other." That's a big scripture for me, because I'm saying that I want to get the best for me, but the best way for me to get the best for me and to know who I am is by me submitting to the Holy Spirit and submitting to God. As I said in the beginning, only my mom can define what my name is. Everybody can call me what they want. I can even call myself what I want. See, when I come into my mom's house, she is calling me Ufama, the full name, nothing else. She defined who I am in the same way that God defines who you are. Because of the purpose and for the reason which he placed you in this time, in this society, and in this period. We don't know the whys, but I can't tell you why you've experienced all those things that you've experienced, but I do know is that God will use them to glorify himself. God didn't put you here for no reason. God didn't make you the way he made you for no reason. That don't make no sense whatsoever. How can the God that created the heavens and the stars and fish and animal and all these other things meticulously, there's stuff that we ain't even discovered. And when we do discover them, we're amazed about what he's still making. And then to come to you and then just kind of do anything with you. Does that make any sense? Just mistakenly put you anyhow. Listen, you might have been a mistake to somebody else, but you're not a mistake, I guarantee you. God knew you before you was in your mother's womb. So be aware, God has placed you here for a purpose. Let's not take that lightly. Now, I wanna bring this to a close, but I wanna do so with a few scriptures or confessions that I would like us to kind of, via the scriptures, to kind of understand and actually just remember and take these down and say it to yourself every day until you see, until we come to, and in fact, this is not a marathon, this is a journey. Sorry, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. This is something that will take, you need to constantly be doing. The Bible says we should renew our minds daily. So it's not something that you do once and it's done. I'm still having to do it. I'm still having to remember who I am in Christ. Because as I said, the flesh is still here. This thing's trying to kill me. It's trying to deceive me. It's trying to take away my identity. So I have to tell it to simmer and sit down in one corner. And every time I read the word or pray or spend some time with my saints like you guys, and can, it allows the spirit, man, to grow. So I don't want to take too much more time. Let's share this word here. You are a winner. Romans 8, 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You are chosen. Romans 8, 31. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Listen, people need to take time when they're talking to you now. Who's going to bring charge to you? This is your identity. Know that you're chosen. You are loved. I love this verse. Romans 8, 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? Nothing will stop God from loving you. Nothing, no angels, no demons, nothing. Lord, we praise you and worship you. Thank you for that love. You are beautiful. I don't care what social media says about it. I don't care what the mirror wants to tell you or what you're telling us. In fact, the mirror only tells you what you tell yourself, really and truly. But according to this scripture, it says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Listen, you need to get to a point where your soul knows this to be true. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I told you, he didn't make all these animals and then just got tired and then flung you together anyhow. No, he did this, he made you deliberately. You are wonderfully made, this says. You are strong. I can do, Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I know, listen, you may feel weak right now. But according to the scripture, the Bible says that the weak say that they are strong. God will renew your strength, he says. You are not your past mistakes. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Let's stop holding on to what's behind. Let's stop holding on to those past mistakes. Let's stop holding on to them things that are holding us back. Let's strive forward. God will take care of everything you've left behind, I guarantee you. It may take time, it may be a process. As I said, if there's some counseling that's required, go and seek help, go and seek professional help. Pray. God, help me to turn away from those things that are holding me. Help others that are still trying to pull me back into it. End the phone call. Tell them no. We'll see you next year and the year after. Let's let go of the past. Don't let the past hold you. Don't make an excuse. You are not a failure. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Listen, yeah, your failure or the mistakes is all part of your journey to God's glory and success. In fact, Jeremiah is another young lad that questioned himself when God called him. Bible says that the righteous man falls seven times. No, you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. But don't let them define you. They cannot be what you base the totality of your character on when God is saying something completely different about you. It is the flesh lying to you. you are God's child. And this is where I end. Ephesians 1 and 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Understand this, you gave God great pleasure. You give God great pleasure just because you're his child. So if somebody else wants to tell you otherwise, you don't get it, they don't like you, they this, they that, understand. So look, listen, all of this, in fact, let me just caveat it with this. All of this is based on the fact that you are submitting to God. All of this is caveated by you are submitting to the Holy Spirit. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are his child. It's been predestined, and it is making him so glad to see you every day. Regardless of your circumstance, regardless of where you've been, regardless of how you feel, do not worship how you feel. You cannot serve God based on how we feel. Serve God based on what he says about you. You are everything God says you are. And it's there that I'll end this message. Thank you for listening.